The book of Romans. So I thought it'd be good, first of all, just to give a little bit of an introduction to Romans, just so we've got a bit of context. I always think it's good to have context when we're looking at this letter that was written to the Roman Christians living in Rome. So the first century Rome was nicknamed Eternal City. It had more than 1 million residents by AD 100, and the Roman army was so powerful that it was able to overcome and defeat any other army at that time. If you've been to Rome, you might remember the Colosseum, you might remember the ruins that are there. Well, this was a spectacular 50,000-seated Colosseum, which was used for theatre and also blood sports, and it kind of dominated the skyline. And even if you've has anybody been to Rome? I'm sure a few people, yeah, quite a few people have been to Rome. There is still that sense of grandeur as you go into the city. Well, it's likely that the Christians that found themselves in Rome, that Paul didn't have any direct influence about those churches being planted. It's thought that maybe the Apostle Peter might have gone and shared the gospel there, but more likely it would have been merchants who were passing through Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost who took the good news of Jesus back to their home city and then were able to share the gospel. And by the time that Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, he was in the city of Corinth around AD 56 to 58. There was a substantial number of believers dotted around the city in kind of small Christian communities, thought to be up to 200 people who were there when Paul wrote this letter. It was probably delivered by the businesswoman Phoebe. And then it would have been copied and circulated around these small Christian communities so that they could work through some of the details. Like most letters that were written in ancient times, it begins with an introduction of Paul, who wrote the letter. At the end of the letter, it talks about Tertius, who wrote it as well. He actually was the scribe, but it was Paul who actually wrote or dictated the words. And of course, many of us will know that Paul previously saw was a devout Jewish Pharisee who encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. He became a leading preacher for the gospel, but in particular, he's known for his amazing missionary journeys and work in planting many of the churches and, in fact, writing many of the letters in the New Testament. If you have ever read the book of Romans, you will know that there is some complex theology in it. That's why I've waited 7.5 years before tackling it, so you know me now, just in case. It's a difficult book to get your head round. But actually, one of the things that you will recognise is there is some quite practical theology in there. So theology is about what we think about God. And what Paul is trying to do, and through God's Spirit, I believe that he's going to be able to help us to take what we believe about God and put it into our lives and into practice, deepening our commitment to the gospel of Jesus. And actually, throughout history, there's been a number of famous people who have been impacted by this book. And the central theme Paul sets out right at the very beginning, which Chris will read in a minute. This book is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, into the world. And through his life and his death and his resurrection that we've just celebrated, we can find forgiveness of sins for all who believe in his name. There's a great summary, isn't there, later in this book, when Paul says, "All whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved." It's a great reminder, isn't it, of the certainty of faith. So with this in mind, I want us just to very quickly see that the letter is broken down into four chunks. The first five chapters provide a fuller understanding of the gospel. Then Paul goes on to explain the impact of receiving the gospel into our lives. It then continues by looking at chapters 9 to 11. How did Israel respond to the gospel? And lastly, the last chapters are all about encouraging us to think about how do we put this gospel into our own lives in 2024. as we journey through the letter, there's two things in particular for me that stand out. And I would encourage you to read it, the whole thing. It takes about an hour. So if you've got an hour, or you can create an hour, it'd be really good to read the whole letter, because it helps us as we journey through individual bits and just keep going with it. So there's two features for me that stick out. First of all, that these early Roman Christians were massively relational. Paul, you'll see, had a lot of affection for these people, but also they actually had deep relational connections with each other. It was a hard place, Rome, to be a Christian. But actually, they risked their lives together, but came together and served Jesus together in a very hostile context. So that's the first thing, they were deeply relational. And secondly, they were amazingly and surprisingly diverse. If you go to the end of the letter, Paul names 27 different people in the communities. And you'll see there, if you look at the names, that actually there's Greek names, Latin, Jewish. There's clearly some very wealthy people in the churches in Rome. But there was also some slaves. And that sense of the church congregations, these small churches, bringing together all of these people in unity. It was a very hierarchical society, Rome. But actually, the church is a fantastic picture of everybody coming together under the name of Jesus, eating together, sharing together, with no distinctions between slave and master, rich and poor, educated and illiterate. This remarkable diversity occasionally caused some tensions. So actually, as you read the book, you will see one of the things that Paul emphasizes time and time again is that there is more that unites us in the name of Jesus than divides us. And it seems to me that that is a great message even for us to take away as we live our lives as Christians. There is more that unites us than divides us.